Right, the House Committee on Education will come to order. Today is Monday, February 17th. It is 1:30 in the afternoon. If you have the cell phone, BlackBerry, PDA, etc., please turn it off. I would like to announce that we are going to carry Senate Bill 987 over until Friday because we do not yet have the paperwork that we need on that bill. And I'm going to open a public hearing on SJR 50A. Representative or Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Chris Edwards. I'm State Senator in Senate District 7, representing West Eugene, North Eugene, and Junction City. Before you, you have Senate Joint Resolution 50, which is the resolution companion to a House bill that you've heard and passed already that authorized the Superintendent of Public Instruction to enter into an agreement that would enable the establishment of a Mandarin learning programs and guest teacher programs here in the state of Oregon. The resolution that you have before you is kind of all the flowery language that goes around that expresses why this is important. It's the resolution itself is very self-explanatory. I do present to you the dash A2 amendments. And do you have those before you?
I
hope that you do.
Do you? No, we don't. Gross. Do we have the A2s?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, those were sent out electronically beforehand.
Right.
So we have some copies that we can distribute.
And I have some copies that I'd be happy to.
Would you like to read?
Yes, please. Thank you.
The A2 amendments simply delete lines 6 and 7 of the resolution and replace that line with an acknowledgement that the original resolution was based on 2008 data, which stated that China was Oregon's second largest trading partner. And in fact, based on 2009 data, China is Oregon's largest trading partner. They are our largest market for Oregon exports. And so the amendments simply update the resolution to reflect that. And because you guys have already heard testimony on the importance of all this, I'll leave my testimony at that, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. There are any questions for Senator Edwards? That's a yes, or you feel
that's a two thumbs up.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, you. Senator Edwards. Is there anyone else that would like to be heard on SJR 50A? No, with that, I will close the public hearing on SJR 50A, and I'll open a work session on SJR 50A. Representative Springer?
Yes?
Would you like to move the gas?
I would love to move them. Madam Chair, I would move the dash A2 amendments to SJR 50.
Representative Springer moves the dash 2 amendments to SJR 50. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Springer.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would move that SJR 50A is amended to the floor with a recommendation and that it be adopted.
Representative Springer moves SJR 50A to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any further discussion? No, seeing none. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. It goes to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Who would like to carry this bill?
Madam Chair, I don't know. Jules Bailey might be appropriate.
Representative Clem, Bailey, and Richardson
right.
have all accompanied me at the various other committees that we've testified on this same.
Clem did the other one.
Clem did the other one. And Representative Bailey's carried some. Has Representative Richardson carried a bill this session yet?
I think he has, but he would be a good choice.
Okay, great.
Good choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's easy to honor us. We'll see if Representative Richardson wants to carry the bill, and it can make up for all the times I email him when I mean to email Dina. Thank you very much. Right, I will close the work session on SJR 50 and open an informational hearing on... before we get to the informational hearing, I just want to give... am I allowed to give a quick update about the rest of the week?
Sure.
So on Friday, we've already talked about carrying over Senate Bill 987. We have a couple of other Senate bills that are on their way that we will have to work through quickly on Friday. And I think in terms of recognizing where we are in processes, we're looking at all of these things, and 987 will need to still go back to concurrence, but just keep in mind what's in each bill and the timelines for concurrence and the consequence of possible lack of concurrence. I appreciate that some of our bills have tempting relating clauses. So. With that, I will open an informational hearing on the Governor's Reset Cabinet Work Group on Regional Education Delivery Systems. And just to give a clarification about the point of this discussion today, it's less to talk about the body of work that you're working on and more the concerns around what is the structure, who's represented, who's involved, how can people get involved, how are the meetings posted, what are the rules for people on the committee, are they allowed to talk to other people that are there? I think it was clear from our meeting the other day that there's some disagreement about what this is, how it works, and the opportunity to get on the record what it is, how to access it, how to be a part of this great conversation. So I would invite James Sager and Ozzie Rose. And am I inviting representatives? Yeah, absolutely. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Gelser, members of the committee. For the record, I'm James Singer, Assistant Superintendent, Northwest Regional ESD. Do you want to introduce yourself now?
I'm Ozzie Rose. I represent the ESDs in Washington County School Districts, and I reside in Salem.
So thank you for inviting me here, and thank you for kind of clarifying the question. And my answer is yes. I believe that the presentation or what I've heard has been shared by at least two representatives and maybe others is right, and it's kind of a spectrum of what is right. So let me back up and kind of tell you how we got to the group and how we were operating. The governor was putting together his reset cabinet, looking at all of government reset. A subset of that is I chair the K-14 Education Committee. The governor received a letter written, signed by several legislators, asking him to specifically look at ESDs. And so what the governor asked me to do was to create a work group, kind of an aside work group as part of it, focused specifically on not ESDs, because historically what has happened is we get into a big debate about the number and what the map looks like. What he asked us to do was come at it from a different perspective, and that being, what do we mean by a regional delivery system? What should be in place? What should every school district have access to? And we've actually expanded that definition to say access to without having to use their own general fund resources to buy them. So what should, whether it is the current ESD structure, whether it's a fewer number of ESDs, whether it's a whole new thing that's out there. And so that is what he asked us to do. As part of the exploration that we have gone through the last, we've had three meetings. What the agreement, the request was with the committee members was that, in fact, we don't have minutes. We've got notes that we've taken, kind of topical ideas, things that are thrown on the table, because we want to make sure that everyone is comfortable and open throwing any and every idea on the table before we begin to kind of break it down and, you know, add value judgments to those ideas. So if The governor's office, Margie Lau, has the notes from those three meetings, and you know, I'm sure she'll be happy to make them available to you if you want them.
They're and just, how would a member of the general public access? I mean, is it, can they get it on a website? Can they call and ask for it?
Yeah, well, for I know the membership list was a question. Who's on the group? And I sent Chair Gelser, I sent you the list electronically, and everyone who has asked us for the list, I've been more than happy to say here's who's on it. The meetings have not been posted because, and this may have been, I'm admitting, this may have been my misunderstanding, but as a work group of the governor's office, it was my understanding it didn't have to be posted. Now, being...
With that, I absolutely agree with you that the executive branch should have the prerogative to come up with new ideas that in a forum where it can be, you know, ideas are thrown out and stones are not cast, and so I'm not quite sure where all this is coming from, but you know, we should have that prerogative. That is not a decision-making body, this
right.
little group. You know, all they're doing is come up with some ideas, and if people don't like it, then they can throw stones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I have problems with casting aspersions on even the concept of having this group put together, because I think they're asking the right question is, what in the heck does a regional service mean? And the only way you're going to solve that problem is to probably come up with some new ideas on how it's delivered. Sorry.
And I would build, I think, absolutely, we have work groups all the time. I think the challenge is if you look at the history of ESD reform, it is a very difficult task that has lots of interests, lots of stakeholders, lots of people that are involved. I have been overwhelmed and surprised by the vigor of complaints that have come into my office, and it has left me very worried about the chance that any of your ideas of that group will have to even be heard when they come out at a later date. And if we really want to move forward to ESD reform, I am concerned that concerns or perceptions of process don't get in the way of discussing what may be meritorious ideas. And maybe part of that is even saying, hey, we have this group, we're doing a brainstorm, we'll be back later. I think there's a lot of uncertainty and concern about what the group does, what authority does it have, what will come out of it from, I mean, the governor, we'll have a different governor next cycle, so where will the legislation come from? I think there are significant questions along those lines.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, well, let me try to address that because, again, and I appreciate that you shared with me some of the various groups that have concerns because I want to clarify a couple things. For instance, in Oregon, we provide autism services through regional grants. And so I am now understanding that using the word regional could come across to folks, for instance, from the autism community thinking that we're actually looking at that program and wanting to change it. What this group is not working on. Regional autism grants, the early intervention, early childhood grants, they come out of the Department of Ed. Sometimes they're awarded to ESDs, sometimes they're awarded to other entities, so we're not interfering with that system. So if you put those aside, we're really looking at the services. There is such a variety, there's a laundry list of services that ESDs provide. And depending upon where you exist, depends upon what on that list you get for free and what on that list you have to pay for. Is that the right way to do it? Is there a better way? Should we in Oregon have a standardized list that says this is a minimum level of service? Those are the kinds of questions. We're asking questions, are there improvements in efficiency and effectiveness by looking at shared service models? A different form. What we believe to be true, and this is one of the parameters the governor asked us to keep in mind always, is that there aren't the flicker of hope that there will be any significant increase in funding for education over the next several years is very, very dim. And so recognizing that for years we have asked people to do more with less, once again, how are we going to do even more with less is kind of a reality that we're trying to face and ask, are there things that we can do structurally and in the way we deliver and the way we think about services in Oregon that might provide us, might free up resources, might be more efficient and more effective, and thus have the outcome we want for our children. And so it's kind of in that broad stroke that this subgroup is looking at that. Their ideas and recommendations will come to my committee, which will then go to the cabinet, and the governor will decide. The governor asked us very clearly, think about transformational change here. We need to put forward a set of ideas that the next governor, the next legislature, future legislatures, and quite honestly, the citizens of Oregon and the people that are sitting behind me in this room can think about. Because, and this is just, I guess, my editorializing, it just seems that we have three paths ahead of us. We can continue to kind of hobble down the path we are, which is starving year after year the system that we've had in place for many years. We could try to take a new path and have the ideas just based on kind of action and reaction to different events and ideas in, you know, kind of a haphazard way. Or we can try to put forward a new path saying, we believe we have looked at these ideas, we've done the research, that this is a way to go, and here are a series of actions that we could take that would be positive. The timeline that we have is during the month of March, we will be putting out a survey to a broad group, again, not with specific proposals from the group, because they're not ready to make specific proposals, but kind of a list of ideas and issues that are being thought about, and trying to, again, to kind of measure deeper reaction to people so that we can see where things are going. The idea, as I understand it from the governor, is we have to have these proposals to him by June. That will give time then between June and the next legislative session for those ideas to be aired, legislation if it's needed to be crafted, a conversation to really take place around a series of some concrete ideas as a foundation for the conversation rather than some of the approaches we've tried before, which again has been try to get a whole lot of people in the room and everybody has to have their piece of the solution before we've even really discussed and clearly articulated what the outcome we're trying to accomplish and what the problems and issues are. So it's just a different way of approaching it, and I'm sorry that there has been confusion and angst. I'm happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Representative Dimbrough.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so, you know, I guess the question that's out there is how we can move from the work of the Reset Committee to eventual legislation, right? And, you know, is there... And that's not just true of this particular issue. I think it's going to be true of all the issues that are being looked at by the Reset Group, whether it's higher education or other sectors of K-12 or human services or whatever. Where is the intermediate step in the process between, you know, the recommendations of the Reset Committee and the 2011 session? I mean, is there a place for there to be, you know, kind of legislative work groups, legislative hearings, you know, et cetera, in the interim, so that when we come together again in January, February, we're ready to, you know, pass some legislation.
Chair Gelser, Representative Dimbrough, I appreciate that question, and I think that 9 months ago when I was wearing a different hat, I could have answered it more completely because since I don't work in the governor's office, I'm not sure of all of his thinking. I do know that he was very clear with the cabinet that we are to have our proposals to him. And as I understand it, the reason June is the target is so that, in fact, we have 6 months where the issues can be aired. He can put them forward. Legislative committees can start working on them. Legislative concepts can be built. And that, in essence, we really actually have a head start for the 2011 session. But again, that's just my understanding of it. You'd have to confirm that with either Chip Trehune or Tim Nesbitt or someone. But I believe that's the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to follow up, I mean, I just think it's going to be incumbent on us in the legislature to decide where we want to go with this in terms of, if we feel that there's going to be a need for, a broader conversation with making sure that all the interests are in the room to digest and process the recommendations of the reset committees and then figure out where do we go from here, it seems that that would be an appropriate step. And I think that that's something for us as a committee to think about at some point. I'm not sure now what the schedule is. We meet in May, and then we meet again in the fall.
I believe we'll have three additional meetings between now and December. I had a further discussion with Senator Haas after our meeting the other day, and I think we all know Senator Haas and the Senate have been working on ESD reform for quite some time. Our plan for December or for the fall meeting is to have, pending approval from leadership, is to have a joint meeting of the House and Senate Education Committees to do an overview of kind of the landscape of ESD reform proposals that are out there so that we can kind of start from the same page at the beginning of the legislative session and bring both the House and Senate into that conversation.
Great.
No, thanks, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. And there comes a time when you have to fish or cut bait. There's a whole bunch of other metaphors that we won't go into. And the time is now past. Well, we're going to have to figure this thing out because we are not. I mean, you talked about the new resources going in the future. I mean, it's not only that, but there are new obligations that are going to be monumental, and I'm not quite sure that we're going to figure, that we are going to be able to figure out. And so we can't go on with business as usual. And so, maybe need to reset the reset, but I hope it's as broad a coalition. And the people come there and, take off their little, coats, their lab coats that they wear to work and say, you know what, we're going to all be the same color today and work on a problem and come to a solution. Because it is terribly frustrating to watch this thing kind of flounder.
Chair Gelser, Representative Maurer, I really appreciate your comments, Representative. And and I don't want to put any of, we have four legislators on this work group, and it's the only work group that has legislators, in part because the governor recognizes this has for, 20, 40 years, I don't know how many years, this kind of has been bubbling over time. It has been quite an issue. But it has been important that people who are in this room have an opportunity to throw ideas out and not have the stones thrown at them. It may even be an idea that they don't necessarily support, but they've heard about it and they want to get a reaction from the group, just to get it into the conversation. So we've had some very powerful conversations like that where everyone knows that when we leave, it isn't going to be we're running to the telephone to call and say, gosh, do you know what Representative Roblin just said? We've tried to create that environment and hopefully have been successful. And I think that the timing is such that within the next 30 days, a survey will be out, so a lot of people will be seeing bits and pieces of it. And then over the next about 45 days after that, the ideas will start coming together and the governor will put it forward so that we can have the conversation. But I think it's very important, and this is what the governor has emphasized, that I appreciate, Chair Gelser, your comment about, you know, looking at ESD reform, but it is really a system reform. And so what the governor has asked us to do is look at not just ESDs in isolation or just the way they are today, but the system and what are the outcomes that we're hoping for our children. And this is a slice of it, but it fits inside of a much bigger picture. And so it is that set of, again, I believe the right word is transformational change ideas that we hope will come forward from this work.
And in terms of the structure, this is very helpful. When Representative Berger visited us the other day and talked about the group, she had indicated that anyone that wanted to come and observe these conversations was welcome to do so. Could you confirm that? So if OSBA comes and they want to go and listen, or OSEA or COSA or OEA or Special Education Advisory Committee or Autism Commission, can they come and listen to these discussions?
I appreciate Representative Berger coming down the other day and trying to add some detail to the conversation, and that's why I indicated we have been keeping notes. We don't have minutes. But, no, the meetings have not been open so far, just for the purpose that I shared, is that people need to be able to talk very bluntly and openly. And, again, this may have been my misunderstanding, but it was my understanding that because this is a work group for the governor that we're allowed to do that. If the governor's office tells me, no, it has to be posted and open to the public, it'll be posted and open to the public. But I think that, and like I say, it's going to become more and more public here soon, because now the ideas, the kind of the research has been done. Now the ideas are starting to come to the point where they're actually going to be ideas to talk about and roll forward. So because the representatives have been actively involved and the committee has worked so openly and well, I'm sure we'll get there.
But to clarify, if someone were to come and be at the Willamette ESD on the, I think the committee received the dates of the next meetings, they would be asked to leave. They would not be able to come in and listen to the conversation.
Unless I'm told otherwise, that was my intention.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Are there further questions? Representative Dimbro.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a comment. I don't have a problem with that. I agree with Rep. Maurer that, you know, it's appropriate for a work group to do the initial work on an issue. You know, my concern is where do we go once that initial work is done? And, you know, I have a concern, I think a lot of people have a concern, that the whole reset process is going to go nowhere. You know, that it's going to be a lot of talking, and perhaps on some level it will inform the governor's next proposed budget. But in terms of actually setting us up for change in 2011, you know, either, you know, budgetary change or policy change, if there isn't that, you know, that liaison with the legislative process, it's going to be a lot of spinning of wheels and ultimate frustration. So I'd really encourage everyone to really be thinking about the desired next steps, you know, where, you know, what we, once this phase closes, how it gets opened up in a productive way for the next phase.
Appreciate that. And if the governor asks me to participate in the next phase, I'll make sure I emphasize that. Thank you.
Are there further questions? I have just one more. I am trying to put out questions that have come to me, so everybody has all of the same information and the same answers. One of the other, and again, I mean, clearly the executive branch has the authority to have these kinds of
of meetings, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the value of being able to brainstorm. What is the thinking, though, in putting a group together where you're openly bouncing around ideas about a difficult and thorny subject? Why would you not want to include the people that spend all of their time working on this, the Oregon School Boards Association, for instance, or Coalition of School Administrators, or Oregon Education Association, or Oregon School Employees Association, or Stand for Children, or at least some of them? I've put together several work groups on the committee, which also are not publicly posted, but generally they have all of the stakeholders that are going to be involved and engaged so that we don't have to start the conversation all over again. So why exclude the experts?
Chair Gelser, if you look at the list, the effort was made to make sure that we have small, medium, and large K-12 superintendents, small, medium, and large ESD folks. We have Department of Ed people. We have folks like Ozzie that have a very long history of understanding kind of where we've come and how we got here. To begin the conversation and to help get some focus, and for legislators that also had indicated interest, concerns, a lot of ideas and a lot of energy over the years. So, and the group, I believe, we're at 15 or 16 on the group already, and it, quite honestly, gets very cumbersome. So, again, and kind of dovetailing back to Representative Dembrough's issue, it is my understanding that the next step would be to take concrete ideas, a base of ideas out then to get those broader issues. In fact, all the administrators that are on the committee are members of COSA, and their board members are members of OSBA. And I mean, so it's not that we were excluding organizations. We were trying to get people who, you know, yesterday afternoon had to deal with this problem and were able to identify what the impact would be. So we tried to be very deliberate as to making sure we had the kind of fabric of Oregon covered with the kinds of 15 people that we asked to serve in this way. And so it was just an approach that we hope will be successful.
And as part of that fabric, the small, the medium, the large districts, who is the voice of employees or the voice of students and children, families, those discussions?
The delivery system and the issues that we're talking about do not, for the most part, provide direct service to children. They're providing services to districts and to the schools in the district. And so that's why, organizationally, we looked at those connections. The districts are dealing with the delivery then to the children in the classroom. So trying to kind of separate out those ideas. How do we get the resources and services that the districts and schools need in order to make sure that all the resources possible are directed towards the children, and kind of the back room issues are taken care of, the efficiencies and effectiveness of maybe a larger regional shared service model could be looked at. That was the reason for it. It's kind of a different set of targeted groups.
Are there any further questions? Yes, Mr. Rose.
I just got a couple things to say about the importance of what we're trying to get done. And by the way, the issue of groups, not me. I ran a group, as you know, for a long time, and it was not uncommon to say we don't want the group, we want a practicing person. So that's not a new phenomenon. But having said that,
Mr. Rose, could you start with your name for the record, please?
I'm Ozzie Rose. The whole idea of using a regional system to be more efficient, get more services to more kids, etc., has been around for a long time. They call it different things. They exist in 40-some states, 45, I think. And they change over time as circumstances change. And I don't know if I shared it here just in the Senate committee. I think it's just Senate, but the very first ESDs in our state in the 1840-1870 range, there were one person. And that person had the authority to set district boundaries, control budgets, hire and fire teachers. That was trying to get the school system started. And it's evolved. There's about 10 different times they've made significant changes. We haven't made a significant change in about 35 years. We've had 9 studies since 1965 of ESDs. And 4 of them recommended that we have fewer of them. And that came, one of those was referred to vote, that failed. 2 of them died in legislative committee. And 1 did result in reducing the number of ESDs from 29 to 21. In 1999, you had a legislative task force that was made up of 6 local district personnel, 6 ESD, and 5 legislators. And they adopted 27 recommendations, 25 of them unanimously, 1 of them by 11-4 vote, and that was one to reduce the number of ESDs from 21 to 14. And 1 of them approved on a 13-4 vote, and that was to let the affected ESDs develop an alternative plan. It came to the legislature, and the legislature approved most of the recommendations. They dropped the recommendation related to how many ESDs there should be. And this debate has always fallen, and even last session this was on the table and didn't get anywhere. And that the debate about regional services always falls into a debate over the boundaries. And hopefully this effort is going to take a look. Things are really different now than they were 35 years ago. We serve a different kids in our schools. I mean, we've closed all the institutions and we have all the kids in schools. It wasn't like that prior to 1970. And we have a different funding system. Prior to 1991, ESDs, like all school districts, ran levies and raised their own money and did what they wanted to do. It isn't so now. There's a state-funded system. Technology. There was no technology. There weren't even laptops in the 1970s. You guys probably don't remember that. But technology is totally different. And we've got to take advantage. It can help us educationally. It can help us how we operate. We can provide more services, more courses to more kids everywhere. But we've got to look at it as services spread across the entire state. Some of those services that I refer to as regional, I believe, could be a state service done from one place. Other services probably need to be done from several places. But we need to analyze, again, what are the services and how do you get them to every kid at the lowest use of resources possible. I think Representative Maurer and James are correct, and I think you all know this. Resources are going to be a scarce supply as long as we're around doing this. And we've got to find ways to deal with that. And a better approach to regionalizing things that can be regionalized will do that. And I would like to stop using the term ESD and talk about regionalizing services for the benefit of kids. I coined one phrase, services without boundaries. Get us away from the battle over boundaries and how do we do our job better? Anyway, I hope that helps design why this. I didn't put this together, by the way. I don't work for the executive branch. And I don't work for COSA or EA, any of those bad groups. But I'm one of the few people in the entire group that really believes we can do something. And we have to do something.
Do you agree with Mr. Sager's assessment that ESDs don't provide services to children?
No, 22% of the kids in the state get direct services from them. 6% of them are in classrooms. But I do agree with what he is trying to say is we're not yet talking about what we do about autism or specific services. I got an email today from an ESD superintendent fussing over what some of the stuff Senator Hass said. By the way, one of the things about technology really bad, our members can hear us and see us, everything we say. And if you're an organization that runs one, I mean, that's, people call you up on Ontario and say, here's what you said. And in the old days, I could say it and deny it. But an ESD superintendent emailed me this morning based on Senator Hass's remark on what he'd done the day before. And he'd gone with one of his PTs and to three different homes. And the PT service, by the way, they go to homes with children, preschool, infants, etc., with physical problems, and they train, teach the parents on how to help the child. And that's a direct service to a youngster. But I don't think what we're doing talks about how do you modify that and so forth yet. We're trying to look for a structure that be sure it makes it sure that every kid in Umatilla County, Douglas County, Coos County, Marion County gets that service. By the way, I have a daughter who's a PT for the SDs. Now she's not part-time, but she used to tell me, Dad, I got the greatest job in the world. Every day I go out to people's homes and play with little babies on the floor. And I didn't understand the that remark very much then. I know a lot more about it now. But again, I hope you give us a chance to get rolling. I think you should be informed. We're going to have a new governor, and I have no intention of what we do in the next 6 months to die just because we got a new governor. He or she's going to have the same problems with resources that the current governor has, and they can't just ignore us if we have good ideas. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, sir,
yes.
If I might, I'm sorry. Ozzy is right with technology. By the time I make it out of this building, my phone will be vibrating, and I'll be chastised for my comment. So I'll try to clarify right now. At Northwest Regional, we have 20 school districts. If all 20 of those school districts want to hire their own physical therapists and provide direct service to their children because the children are theirs, then they can do that. What they do is they turn around in many cases to the ESD and say, will you, because we collectively we can afford to hire physical therapists and then provide that service. And so that was what I was trying to differentiate, is where the line of responsibility is.
Thank you for the clarification.
Sure.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I'm going to thank you both very much for making the time to come, and hopefully for all the people that came, questions are answered. Everyone has the same information. I'll close the informational meeting, and I'd like to reopen a work session on SJR 50A. Representative Springer.
Yes, rule suspension or a motion?
You would make a motion for rule suspension.
I can do that. I'd like to make a motion for rule suspension for the purposes of allowing Representatives Thatcher, Roblin, and maybe Van Orman?
Yes, Van Orman.
Van Orman to vote on SJR 50 and the amendment.
So Representative Springer moves that the rules be suspended so that Representative Van Orman, Roblin, and Thatcher be allowed to vote on SJR 50. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Thatcher.
Yes.
Representative Roblin.
Yes.
And Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Thank you
very much.
Thank
with
you.
That, I will close the work session on SJR 50A, and I will see you all on Friday afternoon. Close the House Committee on Education.